You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and Ross Briley in the studio with his preview for races on Thursday, as well as a quick spin through the racing news. And remember to join us here on Racing Radio from 1:40pm on Thursday afternoon with Gareth Topham, Chris Pimnott and Rory Delaghi guiding you through all of the action. But ahead of all that, it's a very warm welcome to Mr. Ross Briley. Hello, Ross.
Hello, Mr. Sam Norris. Are you well?
Yes, not bad. Fine form. Yourself?
I'm fine. I'm sorry. I'm not. It's very cold in here, isn't it?
It's a good job. This isn't a video podcast.
It is.
Because you're.
Sorry, mate. It's gone. It's a bit X-rated, that, isn't it?
It is indeed. Alarming scenes in the racing
radio
studio.
It's freezing in here. Mark Walton was in here. What was he doing? Storing meat.
He needs to be stored at a cool, dry temperature.
It does. It does. I think Mark Walton would make an excellent butcher.
He would. Yeah.
He looks like a butcher.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think he has that archetypal?
Yeah, I think if you came in and I'll have £4 worth of chops, please, Mark.
Yeah.
Right, you've had a good afternoon. And then he'd nip out for a vape. And
yeah.
I think I might write a sketch about a butcher and cast Mark Walton.
That seems like a discussion for you to have with your fellow comedy producers.
Well, I thought you might be interested, Sam. I thought you might be, you might have a budding career in.
If you ever need to cast an alarmingly young looking man.
So are you getting younger? You look like you're getting younger. I was genuinely just thinking that. I was thinking,
really?
You're looking fresh-faced.
Well, I've had my bi-monthly shave recently.
That'll be it. You are. I can't look at you now.
Thanks, Ross.
It's like working with Benjamin Button.
Gradually getting younger.
Yeah.
I've never looked that old to start with, though.
No, that's fair enough. But you're wise beyond your years, Sam.
Thanks, Ross.
Although
Thank you.
I have no idea how old you are.
21.
But you can't be.
But I am.
You can't be. There's no way you've finished your sats.
I have. Years ago.
Fair enough, Sam.
On the equine front, Ross, how's the luck been recently?
It was okay until Saturday. I couldn't get a thing right on Saturday. To be fair, I could barely. If you'd asked me my name, I might have got it wrong on Saturday.
Yeah.
Apart from. It went so wrong that I backed the Derby winner Anti-Post and still managed to have a pretty bad day.
Really?
So that tells you all you need to know.
Oh, well,
Oaks Day was great. Oaks Day was a pleasure. But Derby Day brought me right back to earth. There was a lot going on. I was in here and it was trying to. It was too many balls to juggle. Mm. It was two jumps cards. Two summer jumps cards for some baffling reason. Mm. And Epsom was very difficult, I thought.
Yeah, it was. And it was a genuinely baffling Derby. It had the feel of one of those races where I thought, if there was anything other than the Derby, I'd probably just be looking at this and thinking, this is far too difficult to have a bet in.
Well, like
I'll just pass it over. You're almost sort of shoehorning a bet in just because it's the Derby and you feel, I need to have a bet on this race.
Well, you say that, but like I said, I backed the first and the third Anti-Post. So because the Derrinstown was such a good speed figure, I thought these are definitely worth following. But then managed to cock it up
elsewhere. Races at the Dash are historically very, very difficult to work out because it's almost impossible to win without a slice of good fortune during the race.
Yeah, I think it's more like that. Decent views in other handicaps, and it you're bringing up bad memories here. Let's talk about Oaks Day. Oaks Day was much better.
Tell me about Oaks Day.
It was just a good day. It was a good day. Yeah. Obviously, Minding being it was a pretty fascinating race, really. In the end, and there was a lot of horses that caught the eye in the afternoon. So it was Looks all right, yeah, not too bad at all.
Yeah, good stuff. And of course, we're not far at all away from the start of Royal Ascot. Even yesterday, I felt like we still had a couple of weeks in hand, but I think 6 days from time recording until the Royal meeting is back. Looking forward to it, Ross?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I've kind of put aside next week to concentrate on it. Past couple of weeks, we've had loads of other stuff going on, but no, next week is full-blown Ascot away.
I feel like it has snuck up on us this year. I think it's because with Cheltenham, we're sort of bombarded with previews months before.
Yeah.
And with Ascot, we've been building up to the derby, and now Epsom's gone away, it's all of a sudden right there, Ascot, and it doesn't feel as though we've been building up to it in the way that we do for Cheltenham.
No, because I think, but that's what I like about the flat season, is because things don't get built up to. They come along in increments. Mm. They go, right, well, there was this big race, and then there was this big meeting, and this big meeting, and you get, sometimes it seems a little relentless. Other times it's quite nice actually to think, oh well, I wonder what's on there. Oh yeah, it's Royal Ascot.
Yeah,
it's quite nice. And then you have the European Championships as well going on. So there's the next few weeks are going to be pretty damn good sporting wise.
Yeah, we're not too far from Wimbledon either.
And then the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite frankly ridiculous, isn't it?
It is indeed. It's absolutely beyond belief for us. A little bit of news as well that's broke this morning. Ed Chamberlain's been confirmed as the face of ITV Racing when they take over the contract in 2017.
Hopefully also the voice, and just going to stand there, look at the camera.
Stare eerily at people. But it seems to be a decision that's gone down well. He's obviously a big name. It's an obvious coup for the sport, given his well-knownness. If you like.
Well-knownness. It's a wonderful word. I think it's a great appointment. Yeah, he's a hugely accomplished broadcaster. He's clearly into his racing. It'd be interesting to see exactly. To be fair, you don't, the pundits, the people, your experts are there to be to be experts. Mm. You need a knowledgeable professional man at the helm, woman at the helm,
an anchor.
And and he's proven that he's excellent at that. So, and as I said, he's clearly into his racing as well. So I think it's a great appointment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done to all concerned there. Of course, it will be interesting, as you say there, Ross, just quite who will flank him on ITV, because we kind of heard first news of this a month or two ago, and there hasn't been too many rumours breaking about anybody else who might join the panel. Because I know it's a very hot topic amongst the racing public.
Could be anyone, Sam.
Literally anyone.
Could be you.
Could more likely be you.
You could, possibly. Only slightly more likely.
Yeah, true.
We could do a double act, Sam.
We could do, yeah.
We could do that. It could literally be anybody. Could literally be anybody. I'm hoping for relatively fresh faces. I think that's.
Is there anyone to the four of your list? Anyone you've particularly got in mind? Not that you make any of the decisions regarding it.
Like all of the, I am ITV. Not off the top of my head, but I just hope to get a fresh selection.
An injection of youth, perhaps. Or just new faces.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, because I think it's necessary.
Okay.
Because racing broadcasting does have a tendency to stick to the rules, as it were, and has over the past few years. I think probably needed a bit of a shake up. So it'd be interesting to see what comes through, especially as a whole new broadcaster to the whole ITV with obviously their own set of values and brand ideas and whatnot. So you just see what the angle will be.
Indeed, certainly. So anything else on your mind before we move ahead to look at Thursday's action?
Only lunch, Sam.
Only lunch. What's on the mind for lunch?
I think a fresh salad.
A fresh salad?
Fresh salad, Sam.
You often have very good, healthy looking lunches.
Well, thank you, Sam. Well, it's you've got to work hard to look this average.
So. Indeed. Let's move on to four races from Thursday now. Ross is going to give us his selections in each. We begin with two races from Newbury. We start with their feature race of the day. This is the 3:05, a listed event here for the fillies over a mile and a quarter. 9 runners go down to contest this one. Quite a few bringing winning form into the race. Lightly raced and potentially quite useful 3-year-olds lining up here.
Yeah, I think so. You've got horses who have been applying their trade in listed events, the likes of Play Gal, who finished third behind Skiffle last time out. And then you've got horses coming into this race off maiden wins. And I think the most interesting one in terms of that is definitely Abingdon, who won very nicely at Ascot, beating Ashman Princess on her last start. Ashman Princess was then beaten at Leicester, but I think by a potentially very nice type. And obviously you had Skiffle in third, who should have finished closer in the Oaks, I feel. And Hadajar, who came out and won next time out as well, was down the field. Again, she's with a yard and with a pedigree in particular that suggests she will improve with time. So I think Abingdon is by far the most interesting runner in the field. Tiptree at the top maybe has been tested a little bit more. She performed with a bit of credit. She the horse that beat her last time out, Swiss Range, she'd beaten in a maiden last time out. She was a bit keen on that debut run for the season, so I think she'll come on for that. So Tiptree might well be the danger, but I think it'd be hard to beat Abingdon.
Abingdon, the selection then for Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore in that Newbury 305. We stay at Newbury now for their next race on the card. This is the 340. A mile handicap here with 15 runners down to contest it. And this looks a good competitive heat, plenty of depth to the race.
That's your way of saying I have no idea where to start here, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. That's me seamlessly handing it over to you.
Yeah, to be fair, I had a similar impression when I had a look at the race earlier, because you've got horses like Jack of Diamonds who, to be fair, he's almost as adept on the all-weather as he is on the all-weather. Two good wins at Wolverhampton recently. Horses like Iconic, who comes from Henry Candy's yard, who are still waiting to kind of hit form. They haven't quite done it yet. They're still struggling at the moment, so at some point they're going to come good. Weldale Amarat, who now joins Simon Crisford from Kevin Ryan. That horse made a really nice impression on debut. He was a huge horse. And he just struggled last season as a three-year-old. And I think there should be more to come as a four-year-old. Now he's joined. Now he's switched yards as well. But two with more experience, I'm going to go with Dutch Law for Huey Morrison. Who's only won one race, but that was over a mile on fast ground last season and hasn't really had that much opportunity to race in those conditions. I thought shaped very encouragingly at Ascot and then last time out at Kempton. And the other one is Squire, who's a little bit older, a little bit more rough around the edges. He doesn't win as often as he should do. He's a strong traveller. I think he'll be suited by the track. And Squire and Dutch Law will be the two for me.
Two against the field then for Ross in the shape of Dutch Law and Squire in that Newbury 340. We go to Nottingham now for their 325. Another handicap here, 6 furlongs is the trip this time. 11 runners are lined up for it. What do you like out of these sprinters?
This is a really good race. First off, I hope Flowers on Venus wins.
Yeah, likewise.
Given the connections, obviously a Shropshire Wolf is Flowers on Venus. John Babb and Tricky and various other people have shares in him, so... he had a nightmare at Windsor. Andrea Zini tried to burrow through a gap that quite simply didn't exist, albeit that also went for half of the rest of the field as well, so no great surprise to see that form start to work out down the field. I think Corby Hamian, who finished 7th, has come out and won since, and I think a couple of them will be of interest. Also got Cartmel Cleave in this race. It was also in that race he had a little bit more luck, and I think Flowers on Venus will turn the form around. But I'm going to take a little bit of a fly potentially and go with Growl, who has finished 4th on its three starts so far for Richard Fahey. But I'm just interested in it returning to this kind of track on clear, fast ground. I think a straight 6 furlongs on fast ground is exactly what he's after. Good runs at the likes of Ripon and Chester and at Thirst last time out. I think this slightly more conventional track will play to his strengths and Growl will be the each-way play.
Growl the selection then for Richard Fahey, Paul Hannigan and Dr. Marwan Kukash in the Nottingham 325. We look ahead to the evening racing now, and the final race on today's podcast comes in the shape of the 8:15 at Haydock, a mile handicap here with 11 runners down to contest this once more. What's caught the eye here?
There's a few in here. Capo Rosso will set a good pace, and again there's another horse who keeps banging his head against a brick wall, can't seem to quite get his head in front as it stands. Emirates Airline, who was sent off favourite at Chester last time out, but never really got the look of the draw on that occasion. And you get the feeling that he's definitely better than his mark. He just hasn't had a chance to show it yet. But I'm going to take a chance again with the more exposed runner in the shape of Finn Class, who was a winner at Thirsk on its penultimate start over a mile. That was on soft ground, but has no problems with faster ground. If anything, when he won at Thirsk, the problem was he might not handle the soft ground. He then went to Newcastle last time out over 7 furlongs, and I'm forgiving horses who run badly at Newcastle, especially over that trip as well. a few horses just aren't really taken to the experience. So I'll give him another chance and go for Finn Class.
Okay, Finn Class then for us in the 8:15 at Haydock. Thank you very much for that. If you just please recap your four selections for the races we've looked at on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll go with Abingdon in the 3:05 at Newbury. We'll go with both Dutch Law and Squire in the 3:40 at Newbury. 3:25 at Nottingham. We'll go with Growl and in the 8:15 at Haydock. We'll go with Finn Class.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Ross Briley ahead of the racing on Thursday. And you can join Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio from 1:40 p.m. for all of the action. We've got six meetings covered live and in full on Racing Radio. Thank you for that, Ross. Always a pleasure, and enjoy the action.
Good night.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.